Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of the first season of CSS Nouveau. Div Tag Soup Be Gone, or The Evolution of the Dialogue Box. Modals, dialogues, modal dialogues, you know what I'm talking about. It's that thing which pops up in your face and annoys you, so you try to click OK as quickly as possible, and then wonder for a split second if OK meant OK to save the document, or okay, let's delete your document now. Setting aside the fact that HTML literally has a dialogue element now, which is freaking rad, I'd like to take a look at the evolution of a dialogue box on the web. Specifically, how we write the markup for it in our HTML. Let's first take a look at a dialogue written in Bootstrap 1.0, circa 2011. And here's a code example of that. Okay, not too shabby for 2011. Pretty clean markup. Gosh, no wonder Bootstrap caught on. Now let's take a look at Zurb Foundation, another popular mid-2010s CSS framework. And here's another code example. Okay, a little less clean perhaps, but still along the lines of what we'd expect from that era. Let's look now at the output from Chakra, a popular React UI component library. Okay, this is starting to make my eyes bleed a little. Glad I'm not responsible for manually typing all this out in my HTML code editor. Finally, let's look at the modal in Flowbyte, a popular Tailwind-based component library. Oh god! Ow! Ooh! Listen, I actually think Flowbyte looks really nice, and is one of the best designed Tailwind component libraries out there, but I never, ever want to see this markup ever again. Ever! Tag soup is getting worse. Not better. No matter where you look, tag soup is exploding all over the web. As of the time of this writing, Microsoft had recently announced a new product called Loop. When you go to their splashy marketing page and peek under the hood, there's an insane number of div tags. I had to hunt for a div tag 10 levels deep before I could get to the very first Get Started button. That's at the very top of the page. And this is just a marketing page. It's not an app at all. It doesn't really even do anything. I'm not picking on Microsoft here. I see this all the time. And frankly, it's unacceptable. The web is not your abstractions dumping ground, and HTML is not a build target. Link. I know you're reading a CSS course here, and not an HTML course per se, but the reason I'm spending multiple episodes of this season of CSS Nouveau constantly harping on the need to write concise, readable, maintainable, semantic HTML is because great style sheets are built brick by brick on top of great HTML. If your HTML is garbage, your style sheets are garbage. If your HTML is fantastic, chances are your style sheets are pretty decent. If I go to your website and your markup looks like this, and it's a screenshot of a million divs with a million hash classes, it tells me something. It tells me that you don't know how to write vanilla CSS, because nobody writing vanilla CSS is going to stand working in an environment which produces this nonsense. No way. You can do better. I can do better. We can do better. The web deserves us all to do much, much better. Thankfully, it doesn't have to be like this. Back to the venerable dialogue. Remember all those examples above? Compare those with a dialogue from Shoelace, a web component library. Here's a code example. This is literally the only example I can think of that's simpler than the Bootstrap V1 example. Otherwise, it's all been downhill from there. What I really love about this example is that there's nothing wasted. Nothing is there simply for the computer's sake. It's all content. It all means something. I can explain to you what literally every character in this text snippet does and why it's there. But wait a minute, I hear you saying. You're cheating! Most of the markup in Shoelace's dialogue is encapsulated within its shadow DOM. You're not seeing that here. It's all hidden away. Exactly. That's the whole damn point. I like to talk a lot about defaults when discussing code patterns, techniques, and technologies. I like to talk about what the default should be when approaching a problem. There are always use cases and project requirements which necessitate solutions that are messier, harder, or more complicated. That's fine. But it doesn't mean they should be the default. Chakra's HTML output shouldn't be a default for the web. Flowbyte's HTML output shouldn't be a default for the web. Bootstrap and Foundation and Bulma and all the other legacy CSS frameworks should no longer be a default for the web. Something along the lines of that shoelace example should be a default for the web. Don't believe me? Think I'm just shilling for shoelace? Look at Adobe's Spectrum dialog markup. Equally brief and straightforward. Code example. Here's the deal. I want to be able to write HTML markup that's stupidly simple and human-readable as well as writable. I don't think that's too much to ask. And I don't want your build tools and your weird-ass frameworks and your abstractions. I want the thing I'm writing to be the thing I'm seeing in the browser when I inspect it. What's the opposite of GIGO? Garbage in, garbage out? Whatever that is, that's what I want. I want to be able to leverage architectural layers and compositional patterns, which are now built into every web browser. It's comforting to know that there's nothing magical about the shoelace or the Spectrum examples. They're simply leveraging what's truly modern, what's truly cutting edge about HTML, CSS, and JavaScript today. Aside, when I see people marketing React-based front-end solutions or Tailwind-based front-end solutions as modern or cutting edge, I really have to scratch my head, because there's nothing modern or cutting edge about them. They are really rather legacy technologies, which in some ways are actually worse than the legacy technologies which directly preceded them. React's architecture is rooted in thinking which originated in the early 2010s as a reaction against the hassles of using early JavaScript libraries like Backbone and jQuery. Tailwind's architecture is rooted in thinking which originated in the late 2010s as a reaction against the hassles of using BEM. Honestly, I don't care for BEM much either. But inventing and using Tailwind today because BEM is annoying, it's like driving a military-grade Hummer around town because Sherman tanks are annoying. Like, what if you just hopped in a small sedan instead? Or hopped on an e-bike? But Jared, I don't like web components in this whole Shadow DOM thing. That stuff is weird. People keep telling me they're icky and not accessible and SEO doesn't work and SSR doesn't work. Why are you forcing me to use it? I will admit, there's plenty of FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, around web components out there. Heck, even people who recommend using custom elements, web components, for various things often promote outdated or incoherent notions of what's appropriate or compatible. A rule of thumb I've come to adhere to when it comes to web components is this. Code pen or it didn't happen. Unless you can demonstrate with a concrete example why a web component spec is weird, broken, non-useful, and you can also demonstrate there's no available workaround or simple polyfill, I'm just going to assume you haven't done your due diligence. Aside, that was me talking to the experts out there. You, dear reader, are given a pass. I'm fully aware that it's very challenging to find good information out there about how to build entire websites and web applications out of web components, especially Shadow DOM. Hence this course, and hopefully more like it in the future. But listen, I'm not yet saying we need to dive into styling with the Shadow DOM. You can build web components without it, with only light DOM, as it were. In fact, let's invent our own Shadow DOM-less markup right now. And here's a code example. See? That wasn't so hard. And we haven't even tried leveraging dialog yet, which we probably should, and which provides a dialog aria role right out the dialog box. Cool beans. My circa 2023 philosophy of how to write markup is really rather simple. Imagine you're writing a web component with Shadow DOM, even if you're not writing a web component with Shadow DOM. Picture in your mind how the composition works, where you'd place your slots, how you'd set up the content flow, what you'd name different parts, etc. And then simply do all that in light DOM as best you can. You might even literally use something like data-part in your markup. And here's a code example. Isn't that just peachy? Now when you go to write your style sheet, you can reference these parts directly. The nice thing about doing it this way is if later you want to move to a true web component with Shadow DOM arrangement, it's not that conceptually hard. Here's an example of that. And yes, before you ask, you can directly style slot tags. their display contents by default, but you can easily override that. Zooming out a bit, I'm hoping you can start to see a pattern here in all of these various examples. And that pattern is this. Your HTML doesn't exist to serve the needs of your styling. Your CSS exists to serve the needs of your content structure. This was much, much harder to do in years past, which is why we all got into the terribly bad habit of littering our HTML with tag and class soup. But we simply don't need to do that anymore. Ubiquitous language. Ubiquitous language is a concept taken from domain-driven design, which tries to harmonize the terminology and understanding of the domain of a software product with the terminology and understanding of the software developer's needs. When the terms don't line up, we can run into real problems communicating what needs to be built and how to build it. Here's an example from my own experience. As a web developer, when I look at the header of a web page and see a horizontal list of links, I think of them as navbar links or items. But regularly, clients and other folks I talk to call them tabs. I'd like to add a new tab to the website. Now, to me, that makes no sense. They don't look like tabs, they don't act like tabs in a traditional software UI, and clicking on one doesn't open a new browser tab. So, how can they possibly be tabs? Listen, they're tabs. The client is always right. But seriously, a situation like this isn't a huge deal or anything. I can call them navbar links, they can call them tabs, and we carry on. Yet, on larger, more complex projects or concerns, it becomes a real headache. This is why ubiquitous language can help us. We can synthesize the high-level concerns around the product with the low-level concerns of product development. A product tile, domain-specific, component can utilize a UI card design system component. A specials of the day domain-specific component can utilize an array of product tile, also domain-specific components, and we can customize the background of the UI card design system component with a variant override for highlighting product tiles that are on sale as a special of the day. The specials of the day domain-specific component can be wrapped by Island, a third-party utility component, so that it's customized by personalized logic if the user is logged in. Otherwise, it shows pre-rendered static markup that applies to the public at large. All of this extends way beyond mere styling considerations, but I want you to keep these thoughts in mind as we embark into a full conversation around component architecture. A modern, cutting-edge styling checklist. Whenever you're looking at styling a big chunk of HTML, whether it's a single large component or a bunch of pseudo-components, which you aren't intending to split out into a series of atomic components, you can still go through a checklist which brings object-oriented, layered architectural principles to bear. Here are some of the items you'll want to consider. Have I created a basic structure using the best semantic and accessible HTML tags available to me? Have I augmented the built-in elements with custom elements as needed, even if I don't intend to upgrade them to bona fide web components? Is my HTML human readable and easy to understand without needing to compare with visual output or code defined elsewhere? Have I named various parts of my content as needed using ubiquitous language, which makes sense in the context of the content? Have I used attributes in a clean way to mark component or subcomponent variations, preferring custom, data, or ARIA-based attributes to class as much as possible? Am I taking advantage of the browser's encapsulation and composition features when it's advantageous to do so? Am I adequately dividing and subdividing larger content structures into smaller ones so as to establish an architecture which can be more elegantly styled? Am I taking advantage of my design system and design tokens as often as possible? If I'm building a true component, have I considered the styling API I would like to provide consumers via CSS variables and possibly shadow parts, which is consistent with the rest of my design system? A word on div and span. Who needs them? Before we move on to some truly meaty topics, I would like to reiterate just how much I dislike the div class equals pattern. Think about it. The idea that div class equals accordion and div class equals dropdown are truly two separate components makes zero sense. How can an accordion component and a drop-down component be the same tag in HTML? It's madness. Again, the only reason we ever did this, ever, was because we didn't have an alternative. There was no way to create a true accordion tag and a drop-down tag, and have those naturally provide JavaScript behavior and other semantics under the hood. But thankfully, in the year 2023, that's simply not true anymore. We do have ways to create new tags. Custom elements aren't some goofy thing browsers begrudgingly support now to make some nerds at Google happy. Seriously, the way some folks talk about them, you'd think this is indeed the case. Custom elements can be anything, anywhere, all at once. Honestly, between the rich plethora of built-in semantic tags in HTML and the ones you can now invent at the drop of a hat, you don't actually ever have to use div and span again, except perhaps inside of Shadow DOM templates for purely structural reasons. Every custom element, unstyled with zero JavaScript, is equivalent to a span, aka styled as display inline. Want your custom element to display block? No biggie, it's a CSS one-liner. Not only do you not need to use div and span tags anymore, you can enforce this with a linter. Yep, I've said it. And I've done it. Check out lint.html, a tool which you can set up to do exactly this. Consider, as part of your code style, you can forbid developers from adding these white noise tags to your codebase without good reason. The vocabulary we now have at our disposal as HTML authors is simply mind-blowing. Let's take advantage of this as much as we possibly can. Our 1990s and 2000 era forebears, of which I must admit I actually am one, fought many hard battles to help us get to where we are today. Woot! Tag soup be gone, component hierarchy huzzah! So with that down and out of the way, in the next episode, we will dive headfirst into some of the latter points in the styling checklist above. Building up a true component hierarchy, utilizing design tokens effectively, creating variations, and providing styling APIs to consumers. And after that, Shadow DOM. Definitely Shadow DOM. Let's go! This concludes episode 6 of the first season of CSS Nouveau. Please move on to episode 7 to continue.